It's been a while since I've seen this mic in front of me.
But we are back. We've got a lot of changes in our lives. But one thing that hasn't changed, we're still here bringing you all the information you need to know to make sure that you're killing it out there in the investing world.
I want to invest. You want to invest.
We all want to invest. Let's find out how.
Let's jump into it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Virgin Investors Podcast, where we talk about student investing. On today's episode, we'll be talking about types of investments and what is right for you. Today, I'm with my good pal, Adrian O'Toole.
Hey, buddy, it's good to be back. I'm excited to talk about some investing and hopefully giving some valuable information to our valued listeners.
Yes, very much so. Before we start with this episode, I have to make two announcements. One, you know, we haven't recorded an episode in quite some time. It's been a while.
It has been.
And I do want to apologize for that. I've been very busy with school and just recently moving that it's been hard to find time.
Hey, you know, life gets in the way sometimes. You just gotta use the time that you got and do the best you can.
Yeah, and moving forward, though, I'm making the podcast a priority, so I'm gonna stay on top of it, and you could take that to the bank. The second announcement I want to make is that we finally have a website.
Very exciting.
So for the show notes, it's all on the website. There's three drop downs really. It's where you could message us, where you could listen to the podcast, and the show notes. So without any further ado, let's jump right into the episode. So the eight types of investments we want to talk about today are stocks, mutual funds, bonds, foreign exchange, savings, real estate, natural resources, and cryptocurrency.
We'll be discussing the pros and cons for each investment type, as well as giving our own input on whether we think at their current stage in life, whether we'd invest in them or not. So to start it off, we'll start with stocks. And these are part ownership of a public company that you can purchase, and depending on the performance of the company, the stock price either increases or decreases based on your initial investment. So the pros of this type of investment are you can usually expect a 5 to 12% average annual return rate, and they pay dividends, which allows you to start building a passive income stream. And Ruben, do you want to explain a little bit to our listeners just what dividends are?
Yeah, no, I would love to. So when you buy a stock, like you're saying, you become a part owner. And because you're a part owner, the actual company feels like, and they don't do it by mistake, they do this to incentivize you to buy more. They give you money back for owning the stock. And this is, like I said, it's incentivizing you to either keep the stock or buy more. And that's why you see all these big, large stocks paying out dividends. It's because they have enough money to, and they want more investors.
It's also important to note that not every company does this. Usually when you get out, if you're to be investing in a startup company, they're not going to be offering dividends just because they don't have the capital to provide that incentive. They're usually priced lower, so their low stock price incentivizes buyers itself.
Yeah, and I know Tesla actually doesn't pay any dividends at all. And they do this because they're considered a growth stock, where your incentive to buy this stock is just that it's been growing for so long and it has huge growth potential.
Right.
Instead of, you know, building a passive income, when you buy Tesla, you're hoping for, you know, 10, 20, 30% gains, and then you sell for capital gains. But that's a different story in itself. But most stocks that are big blue chip stocks typically have dividends. Right. And they pay them out typically quarterly. But some REITs, which I would put as a subcategory of stocks, pay them out monthly.
Gotcha. So just be sure to do your research if dividends are going to be a key factor that determines whether you're going to invest in a stock or not.
Yeah, and they are for me.
Of course, like, of course.
I'm trying to invest for the long run. Yes. So I always want to look at the dividends and what percent I can expect to yield from it.
Right. So another pro of stocks is that there's a low barrier to entry. You can start investing with a small amount of money. this doesn't exactly guarantee that you're going to get the same returns that you'd have if you were to invest more.
Yeah.
But basically, for the learning experience, you don't have to put in a ton of risk if you're just looking to learn which types of stocks are best for you and which seem to provide you the best gains for your current situation. So that is definitely a pro to stocks.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this in episode one where with Questrade, I believe it was $1,000 you'd have to put initially to start investing. And Wealthsimple was no money down.
That's just in the account. It doesn't mean you have to buy
exactly
$1,000 worth of stocks. That's just in the account itself.
Yeah, and so that's incredibly low compared to some other investments we'll be talking about.
They require like $5,000or something. So yet another pro to stocks is the ability to diversify your investments with multiple options to invest in, such as short selling, options, day trading, swing trading, long-term investing. It also provides you the ability to support companies that you truly believe in, such as environmentally conscious ones, if that's something that you're really into. Now, Ruben, do you want to just quickly give a brief definition of those 5 points that I just mentioned?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Short selling stocks, I wouldn't recommend it. It's when you essentially bet against the stock and you make your profits if the stock, the share price goes down. Options, we start getting into the very complicated ways to trade stocks. Options, I could be wrong, but I believe it's when you set a contract agreement, and if the stock price, and this is just one version of options, there's many. If the stock price hits that certain mark, you got to buy at a discount price and then sell it for the market value. So you can make money there. And then day trading, I don't know if you're familiar, but it's really self-explanatory.
Yeah. You spend most of your time trading and you look for those marginal increases.
Yeah,
and that's how you make your money.
Yeah, it's all based on indicators that if you go to Yahoo Finance right now and you go to the chart, there's somewhere where you could click indicators, and there's at least 50 different indicators that you could add on to the chart, and that's supposed to give you buy and sell signals.
Right.
And swing trading is very similar, once again, using the same indicators, but you're doing it instead of a day, you're hoping week, two weeks,
just
maybe a month.
Differs in the amount of time that it allows for you to have.
And then long-term investing, that's the one I would recommend to most people, students especially, where you're buying a stock not really based on the price, but rather the business. Because once again, it's something you believe in. Like for me, I just recently purchased Apple.
Gotcha.
And although the share price is extremely high, I'm purchasing them hoping for the long run, 20,
Absolutely.
30 years, and then cash in on my returns.
But yeah, so obviously no one person's going to be doing every single type of these. It just allows you to choose which type of investing in stocks you want to do based on your expertise and the amount of time you can commit to it, really.
Yeah, a lot of it is micromanaging when you start talking about day trading and short selling and even options sometimes. But it really comes down to how much time, like you said, you can commit to this and how passionate you are about learning the different indicators and certain things that'll make you a better trader.
Right. So now should we move on to the cons?
Yeah. One of the big cons is definitely the volatility of a stock. Just recently with the coronavirus, if you look at how the stock market has reacted, it's been crazy. And that's, for a lot of people, can be a huge risk.
Absolutely.
You could put all your money in and one day you could be up 10% and then the next day you could be down 50%. And that's it.
Right. Now, stocks, they can be a bit more predictable than some of these other options that we're going to be talking about.
Yes.
But absolutely, the volatility can be a huge con, just as you explained.
Yeah, I mean, the volatility goes hand with hand with risk. Like a investment that's more volatile just means it's more risky as well.
And just for those of you who don't know what volatility means, it basically just means the amount that a stock is likely to change from day to day.
Yeah. Another huge con, and I shouldn't say huge, but another con is that most types of ways to invest take micromanaging.
Right. We just mentioned that with those five different types of investing that you can do. And we did mention that a lot of them do take a lot of commitment and time.
Yes, yes. And one other con that we have noted down here is that there's actually a large barrier to entry when dealing with blue chip stocks. Like when you're starting to invest, there really isn't much entry. Like you could go in $100 and you could start investing. But when you're dealing with these blue chip stocks,
Such as Apple.
such as Apple, you need at least $200. Well, I guess at least the share price, which is 118 currently. But that's still, you know, for someone who wants to invest $1,000, well, you could buy 8 shares of Apple.
Yes, but there are other options
Yeah.
that are a lower
Yes.
price. So
Yes.
that's why there is a low barrier to entry most of the
Yes.
time, but for
But
those
just
big
dealing with blue chip
companies,
stocks.
yeah, they.
Yeah, it can become difficult.
So would you say that this is an investment option that you'd consider? Or I know you mentioned you do participate in it
Yes.
currently, and you're going to continue to do so.
Yeah, I would recommend this for students especially. I know there's a rule, and you can't quote me on who said this, but they call it the 100 rule. So you take your age, you subtract 100, and then you take that number, and then that number is supposed to be the percent of stocks in your portfolio, and then the other, which is your age, is supposed to be the percent of bonds in your portfolio. And this is just a managing risk type of system. So for us, we're about 19, 20. That means 80% of our portfolio should be stocks if we were to follow this rule.
Gotcha.
So what about you? Do you think you'd invest?
Absolutely. This is probably my favorite type of investment that we're going to be talking about. I currently haven't been investing yet. I just, at this time, I don't have a ton of disposable income
Yeah,
to be
that's
putting
fair.
into the stock market, but I spend a lot of time researching and determining which
Yes.
stocks I want to invest in when I have the capital to do so. And I just think at this age, it's not as big of a risk. We don't have as many
Yeah,
financial commitments.
that's absolutely
And
true.
it's the perfect time to start building that portfolio and having that extra little bit of passive income coming in for the
Yes.
future when it may come in crucial.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Should we move on to mutual funds?
I'd love to move on to mutual funds.
Sounds good. So mutual funds contain multiple assets like stocks and bonds. There are many pros and there are many cons to this. One pro is that it is professionally managed. So when you buy a mutual fund, you're paying a professional to buy stocks and bonds for you. This means that your investments will be diversified, and it means that there's very little maintenance on your behalf to maintain this.
Right, and I know that was a big con for stocks, that it was your time that
Yes.
you had to put in if you were going to be successful this way. Someone else is putting in the time for you, and you can just sit back while they do all the work.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the main pros to a mutual fund. I kind of highlighted them all in one big jumble. So to break it up, it's just that they're professionally managed, they're diversified investments, and they have extremely low maintenance for you. Now, when we talk about the cons, they have high maintenance fees.
Right, those people who are managing those stocks and bonds for you, they're not doing it for free.
No, and they're getting paid a hefty amount.
Yes.
There's also many hidden fees. I read an article on Forbes that they were saying that your stocks and your bonds, your actual portfolio might be having an 8% increase. However, you only would take around 2% of that yourself.
Is that due to commission for
It's
the
due
people
to,
managing it?
yeah, it's commission. There's a certain fees to be part of like the whole membership of
Oh,
mutual fund.
okay,
Like
yeah.
there's many things that they throw at you,
Right.
but like you said, the people managing it, they have to get paid.
Of
And they're
course.
also very tax inefficient. And so that contributes to the very high maintenance fees and the hidden fees. So if you, like I said, that 8%, you only take 2%, you have to start thinking, am I better off managing this myself or having a professional do it?
Right. So, on that note, do you believe that you're better off at this point doing your own stocks, or would you look into having someone manage your mutual funds for you?
I would never recommend anyone
Ever.
to ever invest in mutual funds.
Really?
And I'll tell you why. With ETFs, they emulate exactly what mutual funds are supposed to do.
And you can buy those on the stock
And you
market.
can buy those on the stock market. And the maintenance fee is ridiculously low. Like you're talking cents to a share.
Gotcha.
And they take those maintenance fees out without you even realizing it. Like it's added to the cost of buying a share of that ETF. So the profits you make, you'll see it and they're yours.
That does sound a lot better than paying a large amount of money.
Yeah, so I would never opt for mutual funds.
Yeah, based on that information, it's pretty hard to see myself doing that either. I mean, unless I had all the capital in the world.
That is the one thing. Like, if you are super, super wealthy and your time is that valuable, that's the only time I would see, you know, investing in mutual funds.
I'm not quite there yet.
Oh, no. I am very far. So that's not even in my vocabulary. So let's move on to bonds. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Bonds represent the debt of issuers. So basically, you are giving a loan to the government and they will pay you back in the future with interest. The pros to this is that it is a fixed source of income because, as we said, it's a loan. You will get the money back in the future. It just will take a while. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the safest investments you can make because you're guaranteed to get the money back within a certain amount of interest. However, the cons explain why it's not the ideal form to invest in because they do underperform compared to other investments because the interest rates aren't extremely high and they do take a large amount of time to be fulfilled and paid back. And there's also large capital needed. I believe the 2019 minimum for a bond was $5,000 in Canada. So that is a large commitment. And obviously ties up a large amount of capital. I mean, not everyone just got $5,000 lying around to give to the government hoping to get it back in 20 or so years, right?
Yeah, no, it does take up a large amount of capital. And the prices for bonds, they fluctuate based on the new interest rates of the new bonds. And so if you need that money, you have to sell your bond. Well, now you might sell it for less than $5,000.
Yeah,
so that's how you lose the money. Typically, you wouldn't, but if you play around...
It depends on your situation, right? There is that potential. Now, it is still safe because ideally you're not going to be in that position. But if you are, it is very difficult.
It's something you have to plan for sure. Yeah. You have to look years down the road, see if you will need this money.
Right. So for me, I definitely can't see doing that anytime soon. I don't have anywhere close to the amount of capital needed. Yeah. And if I'm going to be waiting to get it back, I'd probably just roll the dice with the stock market because I'd probably be waiting the same amount of time for it to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I've probably got a higher chance of getting a better
higher
return.
Higher returns. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of on the same boat with you. I don't think, I know right now it's not for me. Maybe when I'm a little older,
they
I
do
have
make
more capital.
Great gifts for grandchildren.
Yes, I can imagine. I've never gotten one, but I could definitely imagine.
I did. It was amazing.
Really?
It was like $100.
Okay. Well, that's still... That's
but when you're 10 years old, hey, you're a high roller then.
I didn't know you were such an expert on these bonds then. I would have had you come on another episode.
I've got some experience, you know.
Okay, let's jump to the Forex exchange.
This is a fun one.
The Forex is essentially just buying currencies. You're betting on the different currency exchanges. So the Canadian to the USD and USD to the Aussie. Like there's so many different currencies. The yen to the essentially, I could be wrong. It's the same type of mechanisms as day trading.
Right. It definitely is a huge commitment in terms of time and capital for
sure. You have to be on every day and you're looking for the smallest incremental changes in the price.
And please correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it also do the same thing as the options for stocks where you set a limit that you can lose?
Yeah, it's a stop loss and take profits. And so based on the share, or not the share, I guess the currency, how many dollars you have, if you set it at the beginning of the trade, if it hits a certain amount, you sell automatically.
Yes.
And you take your losses at whatever.
Yes.
Let's say it's $20. That's your risk management. And then your take profits is, let's say $50. If my dollars or whatever you're trading goes up to this certain amount, sell it right away and I take my money like that.
Right. It's definitely not for a virgin investor such as us, because it does take a great amount of time and understanding. However, there are websites where you can practice for free and experiment and see if it's something that you understand or are interested in.
They're tough. They're tough to learn. I tried learning myself. And
funny story. They're not easy.
Funny story. I was involved with what seemed to be a pyramid scheme. And it seems so weird looking back at it now. But it was this whole program where everyone was trading Forex and you were sharing what was going on, what trades to make and set your stop loss and take profits. But it seemed, to me, it started to become weird when there were incentives to sign other people up.
Right,
You have to pay $100 monthly. And every time you'd sign someone up, you'd get $10 monthly as long as they're signed up. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Reek of a pyramid scheme, absolutely. So beware.
Yeah, for me, foreign exchange is a little too sketchy right now for me.
Yeah, there is money to be made if you know what you're doing, but there's very few people who I can confidently say are experts in this field.
Yes.
So just to reiterate those cons that we mentioned, it's very hard to learn. There's a lot of terminologies that correlate with Forex.
Yes.
It takes a large amount of micromanaging, and it's very high-risk leverage. I mean, we did say you can manage that risk, but even with $1, you can leverage $50 worth in a Forex position, which means you could make that with just $1, but you could also lose that.
Fall in the hole quite easily. And the pros are, you know, the markets are always open.
That is nice. Something I wish the stock market did. Yeah, but
absolutely.
It's not enough to make me dive into that world of Forex.
Yeah. Low capital is required, though. Right. Like you're just buying currency, right? So if you have $100.
Yeah, we mentioned that $1, you could turn it into 50 quite quickly.
But yeah, and it's liquefiable. Like it's already currency.
Yes.
Like with stocks, you have to sell your shares.
Right.
Whereas you already have that currency. You could gift your brother 20 USD and it's still liquefied.
That's right. But in conclusion, just to sum up, Forex, not for me. I feel confident saying it's not for Ruben.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend it's not for any of our listeners currently.
No, I don't think so.
But if it's something that sounds interesting and you want to learn more about, there are definitely ways to do that.
Yeah, and if there's enough interest, we could probably make a full episode.
If you're interested, we'll do the research for you.
There is so much to learn that we could make 3 full episodes easily about the Forex.
Without question. So let us know.
So let's move on to savings.
A lot more simpler than the Forex. Savings, you're basically just putting money in a high interest rate bank account.
Yeah, and makes sense.
It does.
It's hard to lose money like that, right?
Exactly. It's money in, and over time, you let it just appreciate in value with those interest rates. So that's one of the pros. It's guaranteed to make money.
Yeah.
It's highly liquefiable because it's cash in an account.
Yeah.
It's already liquid. And it's that in-hand capital.
You have for emergencies and whatnot.
Yeah, you're not transferring it to anything. You're not changing its state. It's cash, and it's there if you need it. But the cons are there are lower returns because the interest rates are not extremely high.
Not at all.
And it does take a large amount of time for this to appreciate into the
real kind of gains
that you could get from the stock market or mutual funds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the opportunity cost is extremely high because with those low interest rates, you have to put in a lot more if you're going to get more out of it.
Yeah, and so if you put that same amount into, let's say, blue chip stocks in the stock market, you could be seeing 8 to 12% returns rather than maybe if you're lucky 1.5% like
for us 1 year.
Yeah, like for us, I don't think we'll find high interest savings accounts that banks would be willing to take for us. Like typically you have to put a large amount of money to qualify for these 3%. You know, interest rate savings account.
Yes. So it's definitely something that when you have the capital, there's no harm in looking into it. Like we said, it's guaranteed money. It's very safe. It's just if you're willing to wait the amount of time to get the gains and you have the capital to put in. So
it's a good hedge against inflation. like right. you're gaining some, inflation is growing. It's good to stay balanced. So for I don't sure. know if this strategy would make you rich, make you wealthy.
It keeps you stable, yeah, though. That's probably the best way of putting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and it's super safe, easy to yeah. do.
So it's not for me right now, just I don't have the capital for it. Yeah. But in the future, if when I get there, absolutely, something I'd consider for sure.
Yeah, and for me right now, it's all my disposable income, all my in-hand capital, it's going into the stock market. This I'm passionate about it. I want to learn more about the stock market. And so that's what I'm focusing on. In the future, I want to build my emergency fund in the savings account and have it act as a high interest savings account and emergency fund. If there's anything wrong, then I can pull out of that
account. Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. That's the point of this thing, is yes. to help us help you determine what's best for you now and what's best for you in the future, yeah. and just educate you on the different options available to you.
That was really well said.
Thank you. Do you want to take a quick break here?
I think we're in sync, Adrian.
Always, bro. Always.
Let's take a break. Okay, so we're back.
Yes, we are.
Let's not waste any time. Let's dive right back into it.
Should we start with real estate?
I think we should. And when we talk about real estate, the investing in real estate, we talk about actually buying rental properties.
Right.
I know there's other forms you can invest in real estate via the stock market, or, and I went to a seminar for this, some people buy the actual deal to a property. They buy the deal for free. They find the deal. Gotcha. Let's say it's for $150,000 to a house.
Right.
So they find that deal, get everyone sign off, get the permission, jump through a few hoops, and then they sell that deal to homeowners or, you know, a realtor with homeowners, right. buyers ready to buy.
Gotcha.
And they sell it for like $160,000. So they net the difference there. Yes. And they put no money down.
So that's probably more meant for people in that field.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
That's not what we're going to be talking about, but that is definitely very interesting. I hadn't heard of that method before.
Yeah, no, I've only heard of it once, and I tried researching about it afterwards, but I couldn't really find anything on it.
Right. So we're going to just deal with the more common where you're looking to buy the property yourself and rent it out yourself.
Yep.
It's just one person doing it. There's no middleman.
Yeah, no, it's just you. So the pros to that is that there are huge potential for gains.
Yes.
Like when you get a property, it starts to become passive income, and it also becomes capital gains, but it's a lot larger than you would with stocks.
Right.
And that's just based on how the market is.
Because there's really just that one initial investment. Once you make that investment back, it's just rolling in if you're able to continuously rent that property.
Yeah, and another big pro for this is it's relatively safe.
Yes, especially with the real estate market where it is, it's huge. The prices are enormous.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Everyone's looking for property, right?
Canada is actually becoming one of the most unaffordable places to live, especially Ontario.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Housing prices, they're just going through the roof.
Yes, so it's definitely a very valuable and lucrative area right now.
Yes, however, the main con for this is really the capital that you need to do this.
Yes, if you have it, absolutely, everyone should be considering this. But yes, there are very few of us, and there's probably none of us at this stage of our life who have the capital to purchase a property with the intentions of renting it out.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, right? Because when you talk about buying a house, you think about putting 20% down.
Right.
But if you don't have that prime mortgage rate and you're going for a subprime rate, sometimes you have to put 35% down.
Yes.
And then you're paying that, like the prime rate right now is what, like about 2.3%? And then the subprime rate would be around 7 to 12%.
Right.
So for us as students, younger people with not really that much of a credit score and not that much capital, it's very difficult to get into this game.
That's why it's so important that go back to that last episode we did.
Yes.
Learn how to boost that credit score so that when you're ready and you for that mortgage,
yeah, it's
your credit score is there. You're in and out, and you're ready to start investing in real estate. It all works together.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful mention, Adrian.
Thank you.
Okay, so, is this for you?
Not right now, not a chance, but if I had the capital, absolutely. With it being safe and so lucrative right now, 100%. If I could do it, I would. It's just no one in our position right now would be in that position.
Yeah, like it's down the road. I definitely do want to do this.
Yes, in
the
future.
I've been planning to do this for a while. I've done my research on things I want to do.
Yeah, and absolutely. If it's something you're interested in, do your research now so when you've got the capital, you're ready to go.
Yeah, but for now, I'm with you. It's a no-go for me.
No. But I think we could merge into natural resources right now, which is something that we could potentially be more interested
in
right now.
That's a good point.
So when investing in natural resources, you're investing in tangible materials such as oil, precious metals, gold being the most popular one.
Yes.
And then there's also, you can invest in gas and building materials such as lumber.
Yeah,
you can search up all the natural resources, but those are just some examples. Now, the pros of this is there is a growing demand for precious metals and building materials that we listed and the store of value.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Like it is such a beautiful store of value that like when you put money into gold, it's just holding that value, waiting for you to liquefy. But it's also increasing, typically at a higher rate than a simple interest rate on a savings account is.
It also acts as a hedge to the stock market, especially gold. That is probably the one that we'd recommend the most because it's the most valuable and it's got the most demand, which obviously is not a bad thing.
And just to explain, as a hedge to the stock market, like, when we say that, we're kind of just saying that it acts almost inversely to the stock market. It's doing the opposite that the stock market is doing. And so when there's very unsettling times, like the coronavirus, gold typically does a lot better than the stock market.
Yes, I believe another friend of ours, a relative of theirs, was quite successful investing in gold during that time.
Yes, it's definitely a good investment to make when there's uncertainty in the stock market.
Yes, so the timing's really everything for natural resources.
Yes, and I know it's very appealing to invest in like actual tangible goods, right?
Yes, rather than a business. Yeah. It feels good to just have money in something concrete, right?
Yeah, like that you could grab. Like it's actually real, not part ownership of Apple, like 1/1,000,000th part ownership of Apple.
Exactly.
Versus, you know, actual gold.
Yes.
Can you talk to me about some cons?
I would love to talk about the cons, and one of them is that it's typically a slower, you're going to have slower returns when investing in natural resources. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long-term investment for sure, and it can be hard to find where to invest in these resources if you're managing your own portfolio.
Like, I've had that problem myself. I heard a lot of hype about gold, so I wanted to see if I could buy some gold and kind of use it as the hedge because the stock market was going all over the place. But I myself personally couldn't find an area where to actually funnel my money to.
I think that's where those people who manage those mutual funds that we discussed earlier, that's where they're really valuable because they know where to invest in these resources.
Absolutely.
And save you the time and challenge of searching for it yourself.
I know you could buy like some shares, ETFs maybe, but some shares of companies that mine gold.
Yes,
and you could see
absolutely
returns with that. I know Warren Buffett picked up a few.
Yes,
a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so that would be more the typical stock market stage. But in terms of actually investing in these concrete resources, I'm not exactly sure where to go to do that. So you'd probably need a financial advisor to help you with that if you can't find it on doing your own research. So that being said, is this something that you would look into right now?
For me right now, it's not something I would look into. I did look into it and I wasn't pleased with the results that I found.
Right, it's so hard to find where to go by yourself.
And so for me, I'm just going to stick to the stock market and doing things that I'm confident in and what I know.
Right. Gold is almost like a safety. It's like a backup if the stock market goes south, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's, for me, it would never be my main source of investing. Yeah. It's just so I've got some skin in the game, whether things are going good in one area and down in the other. So
I know a few business tycoons aren't a huge fan of gold, and then many are a huge fan. Like, it's very opposite ends. Like, Warren Buffett used to always say, I will never invest in gold. Like, it makes no sense. You know, diamonds are a lot more rare, so they should be worth more.
Yeah.
Gold is just like a religion. Everyone kind of flocks to it and wants
it. Its value is not where it once was. Yeah. Right? So.
And I know Mark Cuban says the same
thing. So it's definitely difficult when you've got so many well-known and respected investors who all say different things. It's tough to get a true sense of whether this is right. So it really comes down to your own personal research and your own personal opinion. If it's something you'd be more comfortable with, go for it. For me, I'm not there. It's not something I would do right now. But I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying be careful, do your research, and make sure you're 100% confident it's the route you want to go.
I agree with that. I think that's perfectly said.
So I believe we're moving on to our last form of investing that we're going to be discussing.
Yes.
And this is the world of cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency is a digital or virtual currency. It is secured by cryptography, so it is nearly impossible to counterfeit. So when we're talking about pros, there's many pros to cryptocurrency. There's huge upside for profits. Like, some cryptocurrencies trade at like $1 per cryptocurrency, and then they inflate to like $1,000 is worth one. And it's crazy. There's huge protection from inflation. And I'll explain that. The dollar is inflated when the government prints more money, and then they keep printing money. Right. So the dollar is worth less and less.
Yes.
However, there's a fixed amount of, for example, Bitcoins out there.
Yeah, so its value doesn't fluctuate as much.
Yeah, it doesn't fluctuate in terms of they're just printing out more money, or there's just more being released.
Yeah.
And another huge pro for a lot of people is that this currency isn't centralized. The banks aren't controlling it.
Right.
Like, it's currency to user, and then you buy whatever you want. Right. And that's a pro for a lot of people. Since 2008, the big, you know, financial crisis happened.
Yes.
Because the banks kind of fell asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
They were the ones that were the problem.
Right.
And that's why you see 2008, the years after that, Bitcoin took off. And that's when it really started.
That's right.
Now, some cons to this is that, these cons are quite similar to the stock market, is that there's prone to market fluctuations, just like in the stocks. You know, the price goes up and down. Like, if you look at Bitcoin recently, it's just blown up, like, I want to say 5% in the last few days.
Right. Now, would I be correct in saying that there's probably less factors that you can use to determine the success of a cryptocurrency? Like, how do you determine, like, are there indicators such as the other forms that we've mentioned?
Yeah, so with cryptocurrency, you could use the same indicators that you do in day trading.
Gotcha.
And you're using this based on just, these indicators are just calculations based on certain aspects of the price, like the volume in the last 5 days in comparison to the price and things like that. But in terms of, you know, day trading, I would say it's probably easier to day trade just because you could day trade blue chip stocks, for example. Like, you know, these companies are coming from, they're legit companies, right? These are phenomenal companies who have track records.
Yes.
Whereas cryptocurrency, unless you're buying Bitcoin or something like that, there's no history to these coins. Like, someone has just developed them.
Right.
And now they're entering the market swings.
And I don't want to put you on the spot, but would you describe these cryptocurrencies, would they typically be more volatile?
I would say they are.
Because
it's all based on people, right? It's based on what people think and how people are reacting.
So that works in both ways. That's pro in that there's that potential for quick, large gains, but also reverse.
Yeah.
There's the potential for big loss.
If you want to be a safe investor,
it's probably not the safest
form. I would stay away from cryptocurrency.
Yeah, so that summarizes our final con there. It is high risk.
Yes, it's extremely high risk for based on what currencies you're actually buying.
Yeah, so I'd probably stay away from it too. I don't have the understanding and knowledge necessary to feel confident investing in this area. But again, if it sounds like something you'd be interested in, do more research, or let us know if you want us to do the research, and we'd be happy to do so.
Yeah, because this one's exactly like Forex in terms of there's so much depth that we could dive into.
Yeah, and people obviously have been successful in this area.
Yeah, absolutely.
So again, you can make money doing it this way. I don't have the knowledge to do so currently.
No. And it's also a lot of micromanagement.
Yes, it's like a huge time commitment again.
Like if you're trying to do it kind of like swing trading, day trading, then yeah, you have to stay on top of it.
Yeah, got
to
be paying attention.
If you're holding, waiting, hopefully years to come,
this is not the best form to be doing that.
Yeah, I think you're better off just doing that in stocks. I
mean, exactly.
I know there's a lot of believers that eventually everything is going to be just cryptocurrency, which could happen. And that could be an episode in itself.
That'd be interesting for sure.
But, you know, for now, I don't see it happening in the next 5 years. It could happen after, like obviously
there's really no way for us to know.
Yeah, I'm not a guru in this, but no. I would say that stocks are probably a safer bet.
I think that we're in agreement that out of these 8 options that we've listed, the stock market is definitely our favorite and our recommended method for investing at this stage in our lives, for sure.
However, if there's interest in any other topic that we've mentioned, we could dive in depth into really all of these.
Like absolutely.
We were just touching the surface.
There's plenty more information out there, so just let us know. It's all up to you guys, really.
Yeah. Adrian, I think this will conclude our episode.
This was fun. I'm thrilled that you had me back, and I'm thrilled that I got a chance to share more information with our listeners.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed episode number 4 of the Virgin Investors podcast. Please make sure to check out our Instagram, virgin.investors, or send us an email, virgininvestors@yahoo.com, if you have any questions or any comments, really anything. And please make sure to check out our website. Now, I believe I will leave this in the episode description, but if I didn't, it is virgininvestors.info. So
perfect. Well, guys, take care and always stay safe out there.
See ya.